I'm going to go right into prayer as we open on this Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Oh God, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer. Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all mankind comes, says your word, Lord God. So we come to none other. We come to you, Lord God, asking, Lord God, that you would come and be with us. Lord, asking that you would let your Holy Spirit sweep through this room and sweep through every heart and sweep through this house of God and sweep through the city and sweep through the nation, oh God. We can go on and on, sweep through the world, Holy Spirit, for we need you. We need you like we've never needed you before. We need you, Lord. So we ask that you would come, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would let the blinders fall off the eyes of the people, Lord God. The word says they're blinded by the enemy, Lord God. And we pray the blinders would fall off, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that even among Christendom, Lord, let the blinders fall off. Let lies be dissipated in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ, Lord God. We're learning of the power of prayer. We're learning of the priority of prayer, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that we pray. I pray that prayer would always be before us, Lord God. We understand if we stay connected to you, Lord, everything will be all right. Yes. So I pray that we pray, and I pray that the nation prays. Oh, Lord, I pray that the hearts of the people would be convinced and convicted, Lord God, and they would come back to the light. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we are going to go right into our lesson. We just had a wonderful time last Sunday. In my house, we always have a good time, you know. So we always have fun. And your boy, last time was no different. We just had such a wonderful time with all of you all over at the house. The video, I forced my home videos on you, my vacation videos on you. And I was walking through my house, and like, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't clean this, I didn't clean that. I'm like, you know what? These are my sisters and my brothers. I'm not going to even worry about it.
We don't have time to go around looking.
We're having too much fun and too much good fellowship. And again, that's that horizontal relationship that God loves when he sees it amongst his people, that we have such a horizontal connection, and it goes beyond just the natural, it goes into the spiritual, that we have such a good, wonderful spiritual connection. I don't know about you, but I love coming here on Sundays. I love hanging out with you guys. It just lifts my spirit, you know, and I'm ready to go on. And I believe that it's the vertical and the horizontal connection that we just love.
You know, we don't come to your house to look at your house and come to see you.
Thank you, Virginia. Yes, absolutely. So as we get into our lesson, and this should be the final one. I don't have the new ones yet, guys, so just be patient. It was a busy week. And so I will bring them next week. I promise, Terry, I'll bring them next week, you know. But we're going to finish up, and, you know, we're on this lesson, our priority of prayer, and I hope you all are getting it. I hope you are getting what the title of this lesson is saying to us, the priority of prayer, why it is so important that we pray. And we talked about last week the things that happen when we pray. We talked about that evangelism takes place and discipleship takes place, and you know, we have true Christian fellowship. As I said, our relationship is not superficial. It goes deep into the spirit. We can expose ourselves to each other. You know, we can, you know, and we can go beyond what the world knows as relationship. We can make wise decisions when we pray. Or we can overcome. I love that part. We can overcome when we pray. We might have hard days. We might have difficult days and frustrating days, but we can always overcome when we pray. You know, people do so many things when they are frustrated. Some people go drink. Some people go get high. Some people watch movies. Some people just bury themselves in so many different things. But I'm telling you, some people eat. Seriously, some people eat when they're frustrated. But I'm telling you, I dare you to try Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, just go into prayer. You know, just go into prayer. If you can't do anything, just turn your praise and worship on and sit in a closet and let the Holy Ghost just minister to you. I'm telling you, it will turn you around. It will feed your spirit. It's not feeding your soul. It's not feeding your flesh. is feeding your spirit, and that's where it really counts. That's the spirit of you is what makes the difference in you. Okay, it's not this superficial stuff that we try to get into. That makes you feel good for a moment, but I dare you to feed the spirit and watch it turn everything around. And it happens when we pray. It happens when we connect with God. So as we're finishing up this lesson, the priority of prayer, we're on page 8 of your lesson, which is True Worship Ignited, is where we are. In your lesson, it says, as the Lord's Prayer closed in Matthew chapter 6, there is praise and worship that Christ adds to the end of this great prayer. When you look at the Lord's Prayer, prayer ignites worship before the Almighty as our spirits connect with God and we receive a glimpse of who He is. You know, the reason why people just sit down and don't praise and don't worship, and we wonder, you know, they're just sitting there and they're just not really getting it. And I'm not talking about people that are disabled or people that, you know, just don't know. People that are just able, but they just sit there, you know, and they don't praise Him. They don't know who He is. They haven't caught a glimpse of who He is, you know, and that's why, you know, when you pray, you catch a glimpse of who He is, and the praise just comes out of you. Prayer shows you God for who He is. Prayer brings you revelation of His true identity. So prayer does a lot. That's why worship is ignited when you pray. It's not force. It's not a pretense. Worship is like ignited. If you ever seen something ignite, you know, it's just sitting there like, you know, if you ever seen something blow up like gasoline, it's just sitting there, but a little spark and boom. That's what prayer does when it comes to praise and worship. It ignites something in you. Your lesson says, and it's talking about Matthew 6, where Jesus is in His prayer. And it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then He comes into the praise. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's Matthew 16:13. And there are some translations of the Bible that omit this important praise of the Lord. I'm not sure why. I've seen that in the NIV, and there are other translations that omit this section of the prayer, and I'm not sure why, because I think it's so important praise of the Lord's Prayer, but it is a critical aspect of the teaching from Christ on worship to His Father. That true worship is ignited after prayer and in prayer. This is the post-prayer worship, if you will. There's a post-prayer worship that brings intimacy with God. You know, so Jesus is teaching. This is, I mean, boy, if you break down the Lord's Prayer, which we have done on numerous occasions, you know, it just shows you all those different aspects. But this post-prayer worship is so beautiful and so wonderful, and it brings that intimacy. As you look at those words, for thine is the kingdom, that is from you to God, and thine are the power and the glory forever and ever. Oh man, what a beautiful praise. You know, and as you get this intimacy with God, He's no longer distant and mystical to your heart and mind, but Christ becomes a true and constant companion who you will desire to be a part of every part of your life. You know, this is where it happens, in the prayer closet. You wonder about people that pray about everything, and you wonder about people always talking about Jesus all the time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is because they're in prayer and worship has ignited in them, and they have fallen in love with the Christ, and now they want Him in everything that they're doing. And as you desire to worship Him, you get a desire to worship. I mean, worship will spill out of the depths of your being. It will not have to be prompted by the preacher or the worship leader. It will just come out of you. Worship will come in your home when you're just at home by yourself. I don't know if you guys just break out and worship at home. Break out and worship in the shower. You know, break out and worship wherever you are. You just break out and worship while you're driving. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I feel like I'm just going to have to pull over right now. I got to get out of this car and cut a step on the sidewalk. Sometimes some of my praise and worship be playing. I said, I just need to pull over for a minute and go cut a step on the sidewalk and get my car. So while you're dry, wherever you are, you will sense the sweep of his presence. And sometimes you're whispering a praise or shouting a praise. Sometimes you can't always shout the praise. But, oh, sometimes you can always whisper the praise. Mm-hmm. Oh, you ever been in a place? Oh, sometimes, you know, and sometimes not everybody praises loudly. I've seen people praise quietly and silently and personally and intimately. I've seen people just sit there not saying a word. The praise is going on in their heart. And you can see the tears coming down their eyes as they are talking to their Lord, just praising and worshiping the Lord. So wherever you are, you can worship and you can praise. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Boy, the NIV reads like this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me, bless his holy name." Psalm 103:1, and that's amplified actually, not the NIV. He says, "Affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul." Oh boy, to praise like David, boy, he was just something. His heart was so connected with God. So true worship, when prayer is a priority, because it ignites, and I want you to get that word down in your spirit, it ignites worship. It doesn't have to be forced. It doesn't have to be prompted. I mean, those hallelujahs would just come blasting out. Oh, man. You know, it's like we're competing. Terry and Rita sit next near me in service, and sometimes I hear Terry blessing. Hallelujah. You can't miss Terry's hallelujah. It is unique. She's got a unique hallelujah, and you can't miss it. And when you're not here, I'm telling you, I miss that hallelujah coming off from the left side. I'm like, I'm waiting on the hallelujah. And then, oh boy, and then it comes out of me, hallelujah. And Rita, you can see Rita's out there just dancing. And boy, it's ignited. There's an ignition. You know, you can hear it in the room, that an ignition of praise. People are ignited to praise the Lord. And it comes because of the prayer. As I said, the whole service is prayer. Praise and worship is prayer, folks. You know, as we're singing, it's prayer. We're talking to God. Look at those words up on the screen. Oh, my goodness. Those are prayers. We're talking to God. And that's why we ignite. You know, we call it praise and worship. But it is a word to, it is prayer in its true essence. The next point in your lesson says, Jesus taught us, but a time is coming and already here when the true worshipers, hallelujah, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, and it says, from the heart, the inner self, and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. I love that. The Father's looking. Oh boy, can you see the Father looking on a Sunday morning and looking across the congregation and seeing the one that has the heart of true worship? Not the ones that are just going through the motions. Oh, they told us to stand, so we got to stand. Okay, and they told us to clap. Okay, I guess I better clap because everybody else is clapping and I don't want to look funny up here. Oh, the Father's looking out, down, and he's watching, and he's looking the true worshipers, even the ones that they're not able to stand, you know, because of one reason or another. They have medical problems, they have disability problems, but God is looking right at the heart, seeking the true worshiper, because sometimes they're just sitting there, and they're not standing, but you can see the tears rolling down their face, and you know that they are in true worship to the Father, and the Father is seeking such people to be his worshipers. Verse 24 of John 4 says, God is the Spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You must do it that way. And that's John 4. We read 23 and 24. Do you seek for your worship before God to be true? And that's just a question from your heart and not just going through the motions of worship. And that's a personal question to you. You know, I think we've all come to that point where we're answering the question, am I worshiping because I just like the music? Am I worshiping because I like, you know, because everybody's standing? Or am I worshiping because I seek to be true before him? Do you see yourself before the throne on Sunday morning or even at your home when you're worshiping? Do you see, you need to see yourself before the throne of God as you're praising and as you're worshiping? Oh, if you don't, you forfeit a great treasure
when you worship, when your worship is just mechanical. You forfeit such a great treasure. True worship brings great joy, peace, assurance of God's presence on the earth. Oh, I don't know, but I feel so much better when I worship because he touches us. As the songwriter said, the sound of heaven touching earth. I love those words. The sound of heaven touching earth when we worship. Even in your home, folks, the sound of heaven touching your home. And I want you, and we need heaven to touch our home many times. True worship envelops you behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. And you know that you are not alone, that he is with you. What a comfort. When you worship, you go forward knowing that he is with you. I don't care how lonely you feel and how sad you feel. Boy, you go into worship and boy, you go forward knowing that he's got your back. And I go forward with him. The next point on your lesson says, note that many won to Christ and the worship that took place after the prayer in the upper room and the coming of the Holy Spirit. If you read that in Acts, boy, that is so powerful. People worship God with all they had. And this is what the scripture says in Acts 2, verse 45. And it says, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing the proceeds with all the other believers as anyone has need. Day after day, they met in the temple area, continuing with one mind and breaking bread in various private homes. They were eating their meals together with generous hearts, praising God continually and having favor with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 2, and that's actually Acts 45 through 47. Oh boy, adding to their numbers daily because they were praising. They were just in worship all the time and people were just adding, coming and wanting to be a part of this. True worship is ignited when you bring all that you have loved to God. Did you see what was going on here? They were selling their stuff. They were bringing their stuff. And it was so symbolic. You know, they were actually doing it. But when we think about it today, it's symbolic of giving everything to God. That's worship. When I'm like, Lord, no, I'm keeping nothing back. Whatever you need. You need my house, Lord, use my house. You need my car, use my car. Lord, you need me to do this. Lord, you need me to bake something. I'm going to do it. Everything I have, I'm bringing to God and bringing to his feet. You worship him over possessions and anyone else. Do you worship God with all that you have? Again, a question. Boy, I had to ask myself, what am I holding back? You know, everything but, oh no, not that. You know, we know what it is. Oh, so when we worship God, it means nothing is kept back from God's purposes and God's use. Everything is brought to his feet, including your pride in anything. Boy, that's a biggie. That's a biggie. You lay it down for the eternal work of the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, what are you holding back? Sometimes we're holding back our pride. You know, I'll do that, but you won't do certain things because what? You're not willing to give your pride and lay it down. So there's things that you hold back. And this example in Acts, they sold everything. They gave everything. You know, whatever the church needed, you can have it, you know, and God can use it. And it's not so much people get so caught up in the church and, oh, the church has all this money. And so, well, it's not about the money is for the ministry. The money is for the people. The money is for so that people are brought into the kingdom. You know, you can't do it if you don't have any means. So that's what that is. You know, that people are being brought to the kingdom. You know, on Wednesday nights once a month, the church does care and share, has care and share, come and bring food for people, you know, and people come. I mean, in this, I love this area where the church is because it's a place of ministry. You know, we just love the people are coming. They're coming because they have needs, you know, and they're coming and the church is meeting that need. You know, we're not preaching to them like, okay, we have to hear a sermon before you get this food. No, it's not like that. Just come. Because there are needs that need to be met. And even beyond that, beyond care and care, all the things that the church does all the time through the year, you know, just giving, giving, giving. That's what it's about, you know, but they can't give if there's nothing to give, folks. So that's what it's about. The missionaries overseas, just giving. So what are you holding back from God? So true worship, again, we see a picture of the true worship. Nothing is held back, God. I give everything to you in my worship. And then we go to the next aspect of the lesson. It says, revival is sparked. In 2 Chronicles 7, it says, after the prayer of Solomon to dedicate the temple of God, the Shekinah glory fell on the temple so much that the priests could not even stay in the building. Can you imagine? The power of God being so much that they couldn't even stay in the building. That's what the scripture says. It was so powerful. They could not even stay in the building. Then the people bowed their faces to God in worship and submission to his will. Revival came to the people after prayer as God came near. Wow. You know, there's a nearness to God that we have yet to experience, folks. You read this, there's a nearness that we have yet to experience. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, let heaven touch earth, Lord, again. And the scripture says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the Shekinah glory and the brilliance of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory and the brilliance of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. There it is, folks. I mean, boy, can you imagine experiencing that? Oh, my goodness. Verse 3 says, when all the people of Israel saw how the fire came down and saw the glory of the Lord, the glory and the brilliance of the Lord upon the house, they bowed down on the stone pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. That's 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
After they finished praying.
Again. See, Rita just stole my thunder. It came after. No, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It came after prayer. Folks, I'm telling you, we're trying to understand the priority of prayer. You want God to come near? Start praying. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just the house of God. God will come near wherever you are. You want God to come near at your place of business? Start praying. You want God to come near in your home? Start praying. I don't care how many devils are living there. I'm telling you. Take a stand, folks. Take a stand and start praying. You know, I know we have family, and I know we love our family, and we're taking care of them and all of this. And, you know, they may not have necessarily accepted the Lord. But I'm telling you, you start praying and make prayer a priority. I don't know if you guys were listening to the words of that song, and I'm going to play it again. CC Whining, he's not on his knees yet. Oh, that song just blessed me yesterday. I just had to play it for you all. And she just said, he's not on his knees yet. Because I'm like, you can hear she's praying. You know, I don't know who she's praying for, but she said, he's not on his knees yet. You know, and she just talks about in this song, you know, this person that's rebelling against God. She goes, but he's not on his knees yet. And I love that. And so it's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, you need to expect a change as you start praying. Okay, so true and holy worship rippled through the people as they saw the glory of God. See, when people start seeing the glory of God, man, they were like, okay, we're bowing now. And not only did they bow, but they thank God for his mercy, because a God that powerful could have taken them out at any time. But God was merciful to them, and they thanked him. And they said, for he is good, and his mercy and his loving kindness endure forever. After seeing that kind of power, and here we were acting up and sinning, and you didn't take us out. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. They said the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory and the brilliance of the Lord had filled the house. You know, there is a presence of God that is so powerful. There's a reason why the scripture says no man can look on God and live. Because in our fleshly state, we could not look at him and live. It would overwhelm this package that we live in right now. But one day, guys, we're going to be out of this. And we're going to be in his presence. And we will see him as he is, as the Bible says.
We will see him as it is. But that's why the priests were clothed in flesh. They could not stay. Only dead men can see God, because this is organic. You know, it's fallible. It's growing old every day. You know, and it can't take. You know, this can't take much. You know, it gets sick. You know, one bullet can take it out. You know. Oh, so can you imagine the presence and the brilliance of Almighty God coming down? Oh man, I wish I could have been there that day, man. And the brilliance, I can just see the temple. Solomon had finished the temple after all those years. You know, David collected all the materials for the temple, but Solomon was the one that built the temple. And they took the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. Oh man, that Ark that they had carried through the wilderness, they took it into the temple and they sat it there, finally had it a resting place after all this time. And then God came down Solomon prayed. Oh my goodness. And God came down. And it's powerful because the king prayed. Mm-hmm. See, the king prayed. We got to pray. We got to pray that our leaders pray. Amen. Because, see, I believe that made the difference, that the king was praying. Yes. Okay. And the power of God. So pray that our leaders pray. Pray that our president prays. Pray that our vice president prays. Pray that our governor prays. Oh my God. I pray that our governor will pray. Oh, so that the brilliance of the Lord fill the temple. You know, even as we read about all the things happening and everything's going on, boy, it you know, I'm not even looking for a change of legislation. I'm looking for people to start praying.
Yes, yes.
And watch it change. If you can imagine.
Moses in the burning bush.
Yes.
He couldn't look.
Yes.
He couldn't look
because it was too much. But if you can imagine in your mind that temple being filled with the glory of God. I could just see the windows, the glory just coming out of the windows. And the priest, can you imagine the priest just coming out because they couldn't even stay in there? Oh, man. Folks, it was powerful. It was powerful.
The fear of the Lord when his presence is so overwhelming.
Yes.
He can't stand before
yes.
Him.
Well, yes, I do believe that. You know, what I was saying, you know, when the people saw it, they bowed down on the stone pavement with their faces to the ground. Mm-hmm. Their faces to the ground. So it was none of this.
Yeah.
Their face was touching the ground. And they worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and his mercy and his loving kindness. Even in our sin, he was merciful to us." If he has this kind of power and we sin before him and we're still here to talk about it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness that endures forever. So again, it was a true and holy worship that rippled through the people after God came near. And it was after prayer and after the king prayed. And then if we look at 2 Chronicles, same chapter, verse 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "And if my people," you know this, "and if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek, crave, require as a necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." Oh boy, don't you want it to happen? Don't you want it to happen? See, as I'm telling you, it's about prayer. If we would pray, that's what he starts with. If they would pray. And again, we see that prayer is a catalyst that ignites change through the presence of God. Pray that the people will pray. Believer and unbeliever alike, pray that they will pray. Hallelujah. Oh boy. The difference between a believer and an unbeliever is just a prayer away. Just a prayer away. Because as soon as they accept Christ, hey, they're believers. Just one prayer away and an unbeliever becomes a believer, folks. So pray that they pray is what we're saying. The next point in your lesson says, when God comes near, he brings his glory with him. And his train fills the temple. He overwhelms every part of you. That's what happened that day. His presence, there's fullness of joy. And this is in Psalm 16:11. No sin can dwell here,
and the people are revived. Hallelujah.
Who's his train?
His train is just like, if you ever seen a bride train.
Okay.
And they talk about even in his train, there's glory.
Right.
You know, we pray on Sunday morning in the sanctuary. That's what we pray for. We pray that his train fills the sanctuary and through every row. Oh my God, can you imagine the train of the Lord filling every row, all the way back to up the bow, up those stairs to that back wall. That's why I like to go up there. Pray on that back wall that his train would fill the temple, even back there. Let his train fill the temple, every part, and the people are revived. That word should be they. They come to themselves and realize the foolishness of their sins and return to God. They emerge from their drunken stupor in his presence. Folks, you got to understand, you know, the Bible describes this drunken stupor or this blindness that the people are in, you know, because the human behavior doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. We destroy ourselves. How does that make any sense? Oh, we call for the demise of our own babies. We kill our own children. We do all kind of things, you know, that destroy the human race. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So we're in a stupor right now. And because of the enemy, you know, so don't get mad at the people. They are under the spell of the enemy. And that's what we pray, that that spell is broken, that that blindness is broken. The scriptures talk about the blindness of the lost and the deceptions of the enemy. But when his train fills his church, sight is brought back to the blind, and the people can see, as it was described in 2 Chronicles 7. As you look at that verse again, those verses again, it says Israel saw how the fire came down and saw the glory and brilliance of the Lord. Folks, it can happen again. People can see, and after they saw, then they said, oh, wait a minute, let's turn around and let's bow our faces down, all the way down to the pavement. Oh, it can happen again, folks, but it's going to come, oh, Lord, when the glory of the Lord comes and fills the temple, and that comes with prayer. The next point on your lesson says, when people are drunk, they do things that harm themselves and others. You know it in the natural. When someone's drunk, they do things that harm themselves and others. Some of you may have been drunks at one point in your life. You know, there are choices that don't make sense. This is why we use the term drunken stupor. It's from the word stupid. You know, because when you're in a drunken stupor, you do things that are stupid. It doesn't make any sense. The word of God describes this state in Revelation 18. This is what the Bible says about this. It says, Babylon's evil and immoral wine has made all nations drunk.
Yes.
Every king on earth has slept with her, and every merchant on earth is rich because of her evil desires. And that's Revelation 18:3. This is the state of all mankind until God comes near and revives us. And this happens when we pray. Again, folks, just a prayer away. We use the word revival often, you know, in Christian, and we love that word revival. But do we understand the depth of our need for reviving? Oh, do we understand the depth of reviving somebody? The drunk do not understand the danger they're in. They stumble around unprotected, vulnerable to many dangers, and are unaware. They will fall asleep on the street when they're drunk. They fall in a hole when they're drunk. They need to be revived and sobered up so they can be aware of the dangers around them. This is the state of people today, the unbeliever and the prayerless believer in a drunken stupor, walking around, don't even realize the danger you're in. People die every day drunk. You know, just drunk, fall asleep on the front lawn. You know, you see them walking in front of cars, walking into a pit or a hole and falling and breaking their neck. I mean, because why? They're in a drunken stupor. They don't even see what's going on around them. And that's the state of many people today. Of, you know, they don't understand. They don't see. Have you ever tried to reason with somebody that's drunk or high? You know, you can't even reason because their brain is just in a fog. and you can't even reason with them. The only thing that lifts that is prayer. Folks, the enemy has got a grip on their brain, and you have to pray that away. You have to pray that God, oh, by the presence of God, the Holy Spirit will remove that so they can hear. The Bible says this. The apostle talks about this. Pray and that the glorious gospel can shine and they can be saved. And that's what we're praying for, because when people are drunk, they just don't know what's going on. The next point in your lesson says, we see this reviving taking place in Acts 2 as the people saw the needs of their brothers and sisters as more important than keeping all of their possessions for themselves. Wow. They were in praise and worship continually and listened to the teachings of the apostles. They had awakened to the truth of Christ, and all of this was fueled by prayer. Remember the disciples, they wouldn't even come away. The apostles wouldn't even come away when all these people were added to the church. They wouldn't even get too busy, you know, trying to take care of this and take care of that and break people up into departments. They said, no, we're going to assign people to do that because we got to stay in prayer. We have to stay in prayer. So they stayed in prayer. They had awakened the truth of Christ, and all of this was fueled by prayer. And more people came to join them. Who wouldn't want to join such a group? Folks, see, when you're thinking clearly, who wouldn't want to join such a group? But yet today, people want to shun the church. They want to stay away from the church. You know, there's a blindness going on too, but there's a part where we have to be praying and getting ourselves together. You know, but as we do that, people can see. They'll be able to see clearly the glorious gospel. Do you know your life is the gospel? Your life is an open living gospel, walking every day. And that's why you pray that the light of that gospel that's in you will show to everybody and show to people. Oh boy. And be patient. I know you've been living it in front of people for years and years. Keep living it, folks. Don't get discouraged. Don't get changed. Keep living it as we go forward. The same power that was with Solomon in the temple and with the early church is with us today if we would just pray. If we would just pray. Oh, and then the final lesson on this lesson, all of us long to be in a place where true friendship and love abound. Don't you long for that? Every human being longs for that. True friendship, where love abounds. You don't have to keep watching your back, you know. Where true friendship and love abounds, where God is honored, and where his power is being made known in and through our lives. Boy, I tell you, where God is honored, you know, and people think, oh, it's all about honoring. It is about honoring and worship, praising God, but the way I treat you honors God. And that's what the people are going to see. The way I treat you this way because I need to honor my Lord. I'm not going to return evil for evil or insult for insult, but I'm going to honor my Lord in the way I treat you and the way I respond to you. Even though you slap me in the face, I am going to honor my Lord by the way I treat you. And that's what we're talking about here. And we're talking about where God is honored and where his power is being made known in him and through our lives. Let's pray this happens in the body of Christ again. Oh, I know it's happening, folks. I know there are many people that are living right and many people that are doing all they can to honor God, but we need more. Mm-hmm. We need more of us doing it. We need more of us doing it. And it can happen if we devote ourselves to prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Folks, and I'm telling you, I just wanted us to just, I just wanted to play that song again, if I could, and then we'll just go into a prayer time. So I just want you to